From WNYC New York Public Radio, I'm Leonard Lopate. This is just one segment of the Leonard Lopate Show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by DataPipe Managed IT Services, delivering a comprehensive suite of managed services, including implementing, securing, and scaling applications designed for mid-market and Fortune 1000 enterprises. DataPipe.com.
You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Anthony Swofford's first novel, Exit A, is a story about a young man living on a U.S. airbase in Japan. It's published by Scribner, and it will probably come as no surprise that Mr. Swofford, the author of the acclaimed memoir Jarhead, knows a lot about the U.S. military culture. So it is with great pleasure that I welcome him back to this show, this one-time Air Force brat and former U.S. Marine sniper. Hi.
Hi, Leonard. Thanks for having me back.
I got a little tickle. You have to forgive me. You told me the last time you were here that it was your goal to write fiction. Was it your goal even before you wrote Jarhead?
It was. I'd been, since about the age of 25, kind of focusing on writing full-time and you know, wrote a lot of short fiction and some short fiction that dealt with military life, the Marine Corps, and war. But, you know, as a writer, I kept coming, running up against my autobiography that, you know, content sort of, required that first book be memoir, and you know, shortly after finishing Jarhead, I got to work on Exit A.
Well, I'm sure many people thought that your second book would be about the experience of battle.
I think that expectation might have been present, and you know, there's a way in which I made, you know, an oblique turn from battle. I'm looking, you know, in the early parts of Exit A, I'm looking at the domestic side of warfare, the dependents, the children of combatants, their wives, and the life on a base, you know, quite a bit of distance from actual combat.
Well, the protagonist is a military brat, 17-year-old son of a base colonel in Japan. This is based to some degree on your own experience, isn't it?
Well, I lived on a base in Tokyo that's not unlike Yokota, a base called Tachikawa that was nearby. But this was, you know, I was a youth then. I was age 4 to 8. But I, from having, you know, grown up in the military, I knew the world. I knew the milieu. And, you know, when I started writing Exit A, I wanted to set a book outside of the U.S. I felt like many of the important kind of issues of the day and how we're perceived as Americans, what being an American is received through our presence outside of the U.S. And that's why I first set the book in Tokyo, and then these characters Severn and Virginia really came alive for me, and I put them on that base.
Well, as you say, the base is fairly close to Tokyo. Just outside the base lies the busy Hajima rail station. I don't know if that's true of the base you were on, but if you were a little kid, how aware were you of the world outside the base, the side that you get to through this Exit A, the noodle shops, the strip clubs, the sushi joints, the pawn shops, the whorehouses, the sake fountains? Military
service,
the tattoo parlors.
I was quite unaware of that world. You know, my visits off base were with my mother, you know, on the hip of my mother usually, and then walking. But, you know, Japan reverberated for me, the food, the smells, the images. And, you know, in my early 20s, I read this great book by a Japanese writer named Ryunosuke Murakami, not the Murakami that many Americans know. But he wrote this novel called Almost Transparent Blue that was published in 76, won the big Akutagawa Prize, which is the major fiction prize for a first-time novelist in Japan. At any rate, he was narrating the world outside of Tachikawa and outside of Yokota, and this was the world that he narrated. And I knew that inside the base, my parents never knew that this world of tattoos and drug use and punk rock and debauchery really existed. They were really living in a hermetically sealed America often, and I wanted to explore that same world in fiction.
But you also wanted to get out of the base and deal with things like Japanese anger, continuing anger over what happened in World War II, especially with the atomic bomb.
Yeah, the atomic bomb, and also the what is a de facto occupation that still is still there to this day, that many Japanese oppose the marks of the war. Both Japanese aggression and American aggression are still present in Japan, and many Japanese want solely a peaceful nation, and the presence of American military bases is contrary to that.
Your father was in the Air Force?
My father was a career Air Force man, served in Vietnam, and shortly after that service is when my family moved to Tokyo.
Did he talk about his experiences in Vietnam?
He only spoke to me about Vietnam once when growing up, and it was a very he was shielded in his discussion, he should have been. I was only 12 or 13 years old, but I was very curious about this because that mystery cast kind of a pall over my childhood, and his service colored my youth. His combat service colored my youth.
And I'm assuming it inspired you to enter the military yourself, but you became a Marine, you didn't go into the Air Force.
I didn't. I became a Marine because I knew that in order to experience combat, the quickest, most reliable route was joining the Marine Corps and joining the infantry. And I was after this mystery that surrounded my father, which was his being a combatant and, frankly, his being damaged by that.
On the other hand, the image you give us about the ways of the military mind here are rather shocking. One reviewer suggested that some readers may find your view of military life overly harsh.
Well, I think that was said about Jarhead, and that might be said of Exit A. It's a realistic view. It's in Exit A, I do the same thing that I did with Jarhead, which is open up the gates and allow readers in. The American military is a subculture, and there are a lot of myths that are propagated by both the military and the civilian populace. It is a harsh lifestyle. It's not easy on the men who serve, on the men and women who serve, nor is it easy on their children or their spouses.
My guest is Anthony Swofford. His latest book is a novel called Exit A. It's from Scribner. Like most of the other young men on the base, your protagonist, Severin, is madly in love with Virginia Kindwall. Is it Kindwall or Kindwall?
Kindwall.
Well, you know, because you made up the character.
Right.
And she's the base general's daughter. She's a Hafu. What's a Hafu?
She's biracial. Her mother is Japanese and her father American.
Was there a Virginia or someone like that in your high school years? Because if there was, I hope she wasn't as screwed up as the one you've written here.
No, Virginia's a whole cloth fiction. I mean, aspects of her, certainly I've pulled from women and girls I've known and loved, but she's a fictional character through and through.
And Severin Box, your protagonist, is a football star. I don't know if you've ever played football, although you look like you could have.
I played football poorly for a couple of years of high school.
Are you one of those people who see a strong connection between football and war?
I don't see a really, at the end of a football game, you might lose by a field goal, but no one dies. For General Kindwall, Virginia's father, there's a real connection. He's the base general of Yokota Air Base and has that kind of power, and he kind of expands his power by being the football coach as well, and certainly thinks,
and totally controlling of everything.
It's his world. He owns it.
Is that something that, in fact, he's pretty harsh toward his own family? Did you see people like that when you either were the son of a military man or in the military yourself?
Well, I don't know that he's harsh toward his family, but he's not a forgiving character, and he's focused on his job, which, as he sees it, is protecting Japanese and American interests in Japan. He's also a man who's been somewhat damaged by combat and damaged by the death of his wife, and in doing so, fails as a father. It's less about him really as a general than as a man who's failing in relationships.
Although the military link is always there, and you have to wonder just how much people's personalities affect their decision to go into the military and how much the military affects their personalities.
Yeah, I mean, the military, especially for a career man, a career general, it attracts a certain kind of rigidity and discipline. There's not a lot of freedom of thought or freedom of expression that those men are willing to let into their world.
Well, they're aggressive, physically strong, prone to think instinctually. And I would think that that's something that you see as being part of the military mindset, although maybe you think all men are like that.
I don't think all men are like that, but it certainly it helps if you're going to be a leader in the military and if you're going to lead people into combat to think that way. And certainly someone who's spent a career, 25 years, such as my general, that would be, that's how he wakes up every day, ready for a fight.
In Jarhead, you admitted to having some fun during the first Gulf War. Is that something that people are less aware of than you might expect?
I think so. Being 19, 20 years old, deployed at war, ready to fight, which is something that you've been interested in, can be fun. It can be ludicrous and absurd and darkly disturbing. But there's also that family that's made, and fun is a part of that.
Now, Severin is 17, actually not all that long before the Gulf War.
Right.
So do you see him as a kind of a fictional predecessor of the Anthony Swofford in Jarhead?
He's not really. I mean,
because you don't send him off to that war.
I don't send him off to war. I send him off to college, and that's where our paths would diverge. There were many, many times when I was in the Marine Corps that I wished I was living the life of a college kid because it seemed much easier. I send Severin down that route.
Yeah, the time frame jumps ahead two or three times. Is that to show us what life is like after one leaves the military environment?
Yeah, Virginia gets herself into a great bit of trouble, and
Hero is Bonnie and Clyde in the movie.
Yeah, she's in part one of the book we see her falling into criminality, and she'll jeopardize her father's career and her own freedom because of that. And I wanted to take snapshots of her over the next 12 years, and then find Severin in the midst of kind of dropping a nuclear bomb into his marriage and returning to Tokyo to find Virginia.
And what were you hoping to show us by these changes, that people can be redeemed?
Yeah, that redemption is something that happens in the world, that that many people strive for, that often we fail at. It's Severin's goal. It's Virginia's goal in reuniting with a Japanese couple who lived outside the base, who were important to her family.
Now, I don't know how long Jarhead took you to write. This book seems to have taken a few years.
Yeah, I wrote Jarhead in a year, and this I worked on Exit A for about 3.5 years.
Is it that much harder to write a novel?
It's different to write a novel. The kinds of decisions that must be made on every page are different. Plot, character, timing is different. With memoir, with nonfiction, it's more an act of sculpture. And with fiction, with writing a novel, it's fully an act of creation from characters to their past, their present, their future, and storyline as well.
But while you were writing this, you were also teaching.
I was teaching a bit, and I moved a few times. So I was my life was a little fuller while writing Exit A than it was while writing Jarhead.
I'm sure you were also watching what was going on in the rest of the world. In viewing the progress of this war, do you compare what you see with your own experiences, or is it just such a different kind of war?
It's a different kind of war, but the kind of people who are there on the ground fighting it are not different. And you know, I'm in touch with some people who have served and who are serving overseas and kind of take the barometer of at least of the military through them. And, you know, to compare it is probably I think comparisons are not really helpful now. It's such a radically different war, and the reality on the ground, the diplomatic reality, they're so radically different.
And even the technologies are different. You joined us in a discussion of blogging from this war some months back. Now, if there had been things like digital cameras readily available at the time of the first Gulf War, and if you had laptops, do you think you would have been blogging and uploading photos from the desert?
I think I probably would have been. I would have been, you know, part of getting my story out would have been that route. I think it maybe in the long term, I'm not sure that would have helped me as a writer. I think I may have gotten the story out of myself at 20 or 21, when really to write Jarhead, I needed to be, you know, on the page at the age of 30, looking back.
Jarhead is also about the boredom of war and then just little spurts. And that's what the soldiers talk about in Iraq today. They sit around, and suddenly they're not sure that they're going to survive the next 20 minutes. That's a shocking thing to have to go through. But it's something, and they're doing it again and again. They're being kept there longer and longer. Can you imagine yourself going through that based on your own experiences?
You know, I can because I imagined it early on in joining the Marine Corps. And one of the early lessons is that boredom is kind of like what most of the day is about. And that's what we were prepared to do. I think that the long-term effect kind of adds to the terror and, you know, perhaps the desperation of the soldiers, and the fact that this is now a war without borders, a 360-degree war, I think also adds to the kind of terror of that boredom.
It's usually assumed that a memoir brings a certain kind of catharsis. I'm not sure that Jarhead did, but does writing a novel bring any catharsis?
I don't think so. I don't consider writing a cathartic act. I consider, you know, living a cathartic act, and you know, writing, making art is I think an act of giving, of making for the world. But you know, it's less about me personally than the work that I create.
Are you in touch with the people who are writing now about the current war?
I've heard from a few guys who are writing, and I've been on a few radio shows with them, have read some of the blogs. And, you know, I think that where the blogs will really impact how war is written about is, you know, when the histories in 20 years, when the historians are tackling the Iraq War, those blogs are going to be a primary source of information, and the historian will be able to really understand, you know, what happens when a kid wakes up at 7 a.m. in Fallujah and is kicking down doors at 7:30, and that'll be a fascinating look.
Because in the past, all we had was letters to home, and although they were often revealing, they were different.
Yeah, letters were different. The interviews 10 years later were different. The kid coming back from patrol and slamming out 500 words on his blog is much more immediate, and I think will be much more telling.
Do you think your experience has affected the way you see the current events? Now there's talk about a possible war with Iran as well. Are these things that you might have had different opinions about if you hadn't had that experience?
Oh, I think certainly. I think once you've been a combatant, the way you think about the military, its role in American life, in global politics, and how it's used, why it's used, changes, and that you're less willing to commit forces and commit lives.
Although it's always interesting for me to watch the debates that go on between veterans, whether they were Vietnam veterans or World or Korean War veterans. Forget about World War II; that was a whole other story. Because of our ambivalence about Korea and Vietnam, and I'm sure there'll be ambivalence about the Iraq War. Some come back committed to the fight, and others come back totally disillusioned.
Yeah, I mean, and there, you know, there are different wars that are fought each day. If you pull 100 men out of Baghdad today, they'll tell you 100 different stories about the war, and they'll have different motivations. And certainly, there are those who return, who are are pro-war as when they landed. I think as the war drags on, that changes, as we saw in Vietnam.
Anthony Swofford's latest book is his first novel called Exit A. It's published by Scribner. Thank you so much for being with us again.
Thanks, Leonard.
Thanks for listening to the Leonard Lopate Show from WNYC, New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.